This is the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
I've been loved like a butterfly or light around the edges. I've been loved like a blizzard breaking so sudden upon these ridges. And I've been loved for what I was thought to be, once for what I ought to be. But I've never been loved by the likes of you. Distance greater than two hearts could weather. And I have loved bound and blind from pain of a kind that would snap love's tether. And I have loved so well I was sent away by one who only meant to play. But I never have loved quite the likes of you. Do. And sour, just a hunger of endless yearning. But I can tell you in this hour, the hunger is full, and I'm learning just what love can do.
Midwestern folk heroine, now a New England folk heroine. Such a treat to have Claudia
Only the
Schmidt.
Zip code has changed.
So happy to have Claudia Schmidt in our studio with her dulcimer. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah.
Tell us about what you just played.
Well, it's a song that, unlike many of my songs that occur quickly, usually when they occur, this one took over 20 years to complete. And fits and starts, and it's one that I actually wrote on the piano, which is an instrument I don't play in front of human beings. So when I finished it, I was getting ready to record my last Red House release, New World Order, and so of course I had a piano player to play it on the recording and in the oboe, beautiful little combination of sounds for it. But then when it came time to tour, I don't tour with a piano player, so. I had to think about, it was like having to come back around to the beginning again, chase the song around, and I was thinking guitar, and, you know, the piano is such a full instrument, and it's a very kind of, when it gets down to it, kind of a modal sounding song, you know. Even so, I looked down at my dulcimer one day, and just like my dulcimer looked up at me and said, "What? You know, I've been here all along, you know." and so between us, we figured it out. So it went all the way from piano to dulcimer, and I get to perform it on tour now, which I love doing. So, and it's kind of morphed as a result of doing it on the dulcimer too. So,
how many albums now? Is it 19 albums?
I'm actually up to 22. I've got to update my bio. It's three recordings behind. Because I just put out my new one, Hark the Dark, last November. I think that made it 22.
I called you a folk heroine, but you also have really deep roots in jazz.
Yeah. In fact, four of my recordings are jazz-centered recordings. And I'm more known as a jazz singer in parts of the Midwest. You know, I haven't in the Northeast. It's, of course, the folk thing is what I'm most known for, but I've been doing this work with this young piano player who's a big part of Hark the Dark, and Moreau Sprague. And I actually just got to do my first jazz gig in the Northeast a couple weeks ago in Wellington, Connecticut, at this little venue called the Packing House. So I'm trying to, you know, put some stuff down in that department out here. And yeah, we'll see what happens. I love doing it all. You know, I mean, the more kinds of things I'm doing, it's I've always been a marketing nightmare as a result of that, of course, you know, because, yeah, people want you to be one thing. And when I started doing more jazz, oh my God, the folk people were getting terrified. You know, I had some people who wouldn't even hire me anymore because they said, "Oh, no, you're a jazz singer now." And the jazz people go, "Oh, she can't sing jazz. She's a folk singer." So just trying to leave them in the dust.
It's okay, you know, not to have boundaries. It's all right.
And sometimes it is, right? Yeah, right.
You're listening to The Folk Show, and Claudia Schmidt is our guest. She's going to play another tune for us, and then we're going to talk a little bit about where you can find Claudia playing in the really near future. Claudia, what would you like to play for us next?
Well, while I have the dulcimer here, why don't I do... I'll do a little snippet from the newest CD, a winter solstice chant into a kind of a reflective song that was written one Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, I am because I can. I have a nice warm house to leave, and I'll soon be back again. It's 8 below and dropping in the shimmer of moon sparkle snow. Then I think of the ones who are out here tonight,
because they've nowhere to go. Christmas of my livelong years, the gift of family, of arms ever open to the hopes and the fears, all the love and the uncertainty. And we gather and we laugh and we listen, and I thank every star above. And I think of the ones who are out here tonight, because they've no one to love. Ooh. And I know everything can turn on a dime, without a warning shot. And I could just slip off the edge of time, and then just as easily not. There are those who would rule the world with rage, and leave the lowly to rot. So I'll think of each worker for peace tonight, because that's all we've got. Yes, I'll thank every worker for peace tonight, because that's all we've got.
From the new album from Claudia Schmidt, Hark the Dark Reflections on the Virtues of Winter. Just love that song. What a beautiful song. We're going to hear some more from Claudia Schmidt after a short break here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
With a new year comes new opportunities. Opportunities to stay in step with what's going on around the world.
The largest demonstrations in Iran in nearly
opportunities to learn.
The main reason for the surge has to do with global economic
and opportunities to be surprised.
Kahlua, chocolate syrup, and red Kool-Aid.
All you have to do is listen. Tune into Morning Edition every day.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Flying Monkey Performance Center, presenting Willie Nile Sings Bob Dylan on February 10th and the soulful Martin Sexton on February 16th. Tickets at flyingmonkeynh.com. We're in the studio with Claudia Schmidt. The new album is called Hark the Dark Reflections of the Virtues of Winter. Claudia, being from Minnesota, I guess, or Michigan and the Midwest, you really believe.
A lot of M's.
What's that? A lot of M's. You really do espouse the virtues of winter, right? You're really embracing.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
What's your favorite thing about the winter?
The quiet, you know, which is getting harder and harder to find in our lives. And just the fact, if nothing else, you get to have your windows closed and shut out the increasingly noisy outside. And that's one thing. And,
well, your album talks a lot about snow, and so what I kind of hear or don't hear is that peace, that when you're out
right.
after a new fallen snow and there are no tracks
right.
on the trail, and you're the first one out there,
and it's
the
got a kind of a muffling quality, and it's subtle, you know, it's about subtlety. In fact, I should do December Danger, which is the spoken word piece from the album, because it's all about all that subtlety and the treasures that are sprinkled all through it, if you're paying attention, you know.
Would you like to do that now?
Sure, why not? Yeah. This was actually a healing poem. I had the first image in the poem was the result of having been walking out to my car with my guitar and a bunch of crap, and I got so excited by a cardinal that I stepped off the curb and fell on my knee and like banged my knee up royally, and so I went to my chiropractor and he worked on my knee, and he said, well, it's going to take a little while to heal. And I told him about the poem. He said, well, at least you got a good poem out of it.
Story.
Yeah. This is that kind of gray, drab day, sullenly monochromatic, where you have to be extra cautious. Because the sudden flash of a cardinal in that tree across the street might cause you to lurch off the curb right into the path of an oncoming car. Because the exemplary location of one large rose hip might cause you to drive your own car right off the road toward its siren scream of color. Because the periwinkle of a woman's jaunty hat might cause you to become tangled up in your own boots and fall face down into the white, white snow. Because the golden blast of suddenly released leaves from that big oak might cause you to weep and weep until the tears freeze on your pale winter cheeks. Be careful. Color is hiding everywhere on this deceptively gray day, waiting to ambush you and cause your red pounding heart to leap and sing.
Claudia Schmidt here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. Claudia, you've got a show coming up over in Putney.
Yeah.
March 10th. Mm-hmm. Is that a solo show?
It's
happening at Next Stage?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It'll be me the whole evening. I got it covered. Don't worry.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
And I've been hearing wonderful things about that theater. Mm-hmm. And so it's part of my making inroads into living out here now and finding out what's going on with the concert scene. And, it'll be 43 years in April that I've been doing this full time. And it's just there's always some aspect of it that seems like you're just starting over again. So here I am just starting over again.
Well, you haven't always done solo performances. You've also teamed up with another one of our folk show favorites,
right.
Sally Rogers, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but that was always just occasionally. I mean, we had our little surge in the 80s, but that was before she moved out to Connecticut and you know, they started raising kids and I moved to my island out in the middle of Lake Michigan. And it made getting together a little less expedient. So now we live 1.8 miles apart, and it feels luxurious. Although just as much to be able to go out for happy hour together as to get together to practice for a gig. You know, I mean, it's just after all these years of usually getting together to cram for gigs, you know, because we're coming from different places, and we actually can just be pals now. You know, it's really it's a great luxury.
What a gift.
And
yeah,
after singing together for 37 years and
well,
yeah.
A couple recent albums under your belt, the one that mm-hmm. you just did, Hark the Dark, and then one with Sally called We Are Welcomed.
Yes. Right. And that was we did that to celebrate 35 years of singing together. Yeah.
When can folks see the two of you play again? Do you have anything lined up?
Well, up in Maine, we play in Winter Harbor every August, and I know we're going to be doing something in Rockland in early July. And we were just actually here last summer at the Audubon Center. We did a little concert that went really well. So, I mean, again, we're both trying to. She quit teaching, so she's trying to gig more now. So we, you know, we've got our radar out, trying to figure out what'll work for the two of us, and just starting over.
I wish I was one of your neighbors. I just can't imagine what that must be like to be 1.9 miles away from Claudia Schmidt or Sally Rogers.
It's much more boring than you might think.
I find that really hard to believe. The new album is called Hark the Dark: Reflections on the Virtues of Winter. Claudia Schmidt has a show coming up over in Putney. It's at 7:30 at Next Stage, and you'll find out more details about that show on our calendar at nhpr.org. Just click on the Folk Show page. How about another tune, Claudia?
Sure. I know. I want to do this one. It's been in my mind a lot. I find as a writer that it'll be a visual image or a phrase that I'll hear that just kind of leaps out, you know, like the cardinal or the the periwinkle hat, and kind of becomes a portal for a song to occur. And I'd been eating in various restaurants over this period of months and going through some fairly intense times myself, and I just became really aware that out of several conversations, I would hear the phrase "if all goes well" kind of drifting out, and I began to think about how many different ways that has meaning depending on the context in which it's used. You know, and so it turned into this song, we just passed the fifth anniversary of my mom Jane's death, and this was her favorite song of mine at that time. If all goes well,
the broken pieces all are gathered, things quietly waiting to mend. In every corner that pain demands, till its timely end. If all goes well, if all goes well, we will find the strength to make them whole again. If all goes well, sorry state of an angry heart poisons the landscape of desire, and it slams the door on every cry to turn and face the fire. If all goes well, all goes well, we will open up and reach once more. If all goes well, if all goes well, the darkness gives us time to heal. So we'll hang our charms over the threshold, whisper blessings each time we cross, mend what we can, and with the rest accept inevitable loss. If all goes well, all goes well, we will travel on to a wiser place. If all goes well, if all goes well, if all goes well.
Schmidt here on the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, with a show coming up on March 10th over in Putney, Vermont at Next Stage, and a new album, 22nd album, more albums planned, more writing.
You know, as far as recording goes, When I get done with the recording, I think, oh, I'm never going to record anything again. I feel like this is the last one. And then I'll go along and I won't think about it much and some time will pass and suddenly I will have this whole sort of idea in mind, like it's been gestating. I'm a heavy gestator, but I'm not thinking about it. And so when it makes itself known, it kind of makes itself known. Like I'm not always plotting and planning the next thing, but I have no doubt that something's going on in there. And yeah, because I love the opportunity to record. I love live performing best of all. That's my primary passion. But going into the studio and recording, it's like kind of like going to school for me, you know, because you get to really – you're confronted with your limitations. So It's a project. It's a process that way. And so I'm able to focus on that process. And so I feel like every recording I make makes me a better musician, which then I take back to my people when I get on stage again. So it's because people say, oh, why don't you do more live recordings? And for me, they're two completely different universes. I want that concentration that I have when I'm in the studio. And when I'm in a live performance, I want that concentration, that relationship with the audience that sort of changes when you're sticking microphones up and doing live recordings. I mean, I've done one. You know, I have one and I'm fine with it, but I prefer to keep them separate. Yeah.
Well, you've just started over. You mentioned that earlier. You really have started over because you've uprooted yourself from a place where you had a community. You were kind of rooted in your, mm-hmm. you know, your genres, whatever. You had your jazz scene going on
yeah.
in the Midwest and your folk scene. And now you've come out east and just kind of establishing yourself all over again. It's pretty big job. It's a pretty big job.
Yeah. Pulling the rug out, huh? Yeah. So, uh-huh.
And your muse, do you have a special place for your muse?
I have to say that my solo trips in the car seem to be good. The muse finds me there
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
And because you've just got your captive audience. And so that's a good – and you don't have the distractions. Home is not always the best because there's just too many – distractions, too many errands, or too many responsibilities, and you know, down to you know, oh, I have to go pick lint off. I have to go pick that lint off of the rug instead of just sitting and being receptive. You know, there's always like something more pedestrian that needs to be done. And
for me, it would be like, what's in the refrigerator?
What's
in the refrigerator?
There's that too. Yeah, like let me go see. I just looked 20 minutes ago, right. But I think I'll go look again.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
Oh, I have a good poem about the refrigerator. I should do for you.
Sure, go ahead. Love it.
No, well, it's really about maybe not looking in your refrigerator enough. So it's the other side of that, the dark side of that, of the looking in the refrigerator. It's called The Secret Life of Food. Food gets impatient in its cool, dark suspension. It slows but does not stop the mindless inclination to transform itself. It's not even important whether it's your body that provides the catalytic climate or, more to the point here, the chemistry lab, which is currently your murky refrigerator. So you, of little time to prepare food, pay heed. You, who keep meaning to liquidate those pricey, scrumptious leftovers, get real. They waited for you, but now they have gone on, right in place, liquidating themselves, gracefully assuming the green, the blue, furry mantles, the pastel polka dots, the swelling and shriveling circus of decay silently enacting itself while, once again, you head home from happy hour, licking your chops in anticipation of that grilled salmon you brought home. When was it? Just a few days ago, right? Better think twice about that. Same goes for that wild mushroom soup bubbling away now in its cool, germy cauldron. Even that fancy chèvre has given up holding its own and suggests greener pastures in this minefield your life of culinary slackerdom has created. Potatoes under your sink explore olfactory horizons of rancidity. Garlic and onion send their young shoots skyward in a jubilee of resurrection and inedibility. As you pull into your driveway, a perishable paradise festers and waits for no one, blind to your hopes and expectations. Neither is its flurry of activity the result of any vengeful motivation. Just things taking their natural microbial course far, far away from your busy schedule. Suppose for a moment, it's not so different from some situations in your life where you've been shelved and forgotten. It's not nearly so easy for you to move on before being thrown out way past your expiration date. Think about this. While you order Chinese, whose leftovers you can add to the mystery takeout lurking behind those prime rib scraps toward which you now absent-mindedly reach, don't. They've crossed over, and they don't care if they take you with them. Unless, of course, you're ready for some real change.
The Secret Life of Food from Claudia Schmidt. I love it, Claudia. That's so great.
So see, you never know what's going to inspire you.
From refrigerators to the dark, right? The dark
right.
of the refrigerator. Claudia Schmidt is going to be doing a show over in Putney at Next Stage on March 10th. It's a 7:30 show. You'll find it listed on our calendar at nhpr.org. Just click on the Folk Show page. You can also visit Claudia's website for details about how to get her albums or if you want to find out where she is going to be, maybe near you. We have a lot of folks that are listening on the web, so you never know. Somebody mm-hmm. that's going to be out in St. Paul might be listening tonight.
That's right, which is where I'm going to be next week. So, right, yeah.
Yeah. Her website is claudiaschmidt.com, and the new album is called Hark the Dark, Reflections on the Virtues of Winter. One last tune for us, Claudia?
Sure. I'll play you a brand new song. On my drive across from Connecticut to Fargo, North Dakota last November was right when the lid was blowing off, when the whole hashtag MeToo thing took flight, and so, of course, no matter where I was listening to public radio, that was the main story. That was the big story. And, boy, it was remarkable to be not just listening to it in one place, but hearing about it all, as I drove, you know, all over the country and then talking to people as I dropped in to places and a sort of corresponding, you know, a sort of relief that it's up and out in the open, but a fear that there will be a backlash because of the way it's being handled, that it's not turning into a really deep conversation, you know, that it's a media moment. And so I've heard a lot of people were and shows being interviewed talking about that and worrying about that because everything has the possibility of changing now, you know, and this isn't a decades-old thing or a centuries-old thing. It's a millennia-old thing, you know, more than one. And it's a broken system, and we're all complicit in it because we've been part of it for so long. And so that's where the real deep conversation has to have. And I think that was rolling around in my head when I wrote this song.
Long, long time to get a bead on the meanness. It took a long, long time to turn the gray into black. It took a long, long time to give a voice to the anger. It took a long, long time, but now there's no turning back. Was a long, long road. Walk behind and be silent. It was a long, long road to carry all that pain. It was a long, long road, but now that journey is ending. It was a long, long road. We'll never travel again. It takes a long, long time to turn the shame into power. It takes a long, long time for every voice to be heard. Oh, it takes a long, long time to break a system of violence. It takes a long, long time to put it all into words. Bridge for our daughters. It takes a long, long view to give a choice to our sons. It takes a long, long view. Not forget what the price was. It takes a long, long view to know the work's never done. Oh, it took a long, long time. Raise our voices together. It took a long, long time, but now we walk hand in hand. It took a long, long time to break this terrible silence. Ah, it took a long, long time to come to understand. Ooh, 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 it took a long. It was a long, long road. It takes a long, long time. It takes a long, long view. It took a long, long time. It was a long, long road. It takes a long, long time. It takes a long, long view. Together we will see our way through.
It's a new one from Claudia Schmidt. So happy Claudia Schmidt has moved to New England. Maybe that means she
It still surprises me to hear that.
Maybe she won't be a stranger to the folk show. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to have you come back and see
Thank
us again
Thank you, Kate.
Sometime.
I will.
Thanks for stopping in. And be
Thanks
safe
Thanks for keeping
out there.
Up your good work over the years.
I'm so grateful that I get to do this and that I get to meet up and support people like you that are really doing the work. Folk musicians are, not only are they musicians and talented writers, but they're also managers and they're distributors and they're booking agents and they're everything in one. So it's a lot of work to do what you do. And I thank you for taking the time to stop in here.
You're welcome.
This is NHPR.
NHPR is a very important part of my life. I'm an avid listener. My stories begin and end with stories I've heard on NHPR.
Carolyn Mertz is a longtime supporter and has named NHPR as a beneficiary to her IRA.
I really want to see this organization continue, and I love the idea of leaving kind of a lasting mark to help assure the future of NHPR.
Include NHPR in your long-term giving plans at nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Pierce Jewelers in West Lebanon, celebrating the retirement of Fred and Kate from retail on March 1st. PierceJewelers.com.